In the name of the greatest creator, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This very night, your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. When I was little, I liked to follow my dad out to his gardens. He had a garden which was the rest of our 5-acre or so yard that was not his vegetable garden, where he planted plants native to Massachusetts. I learned names like columbine, joe pye weed, maidenhair fir, beech plum, foam flower, and butterfly weed. Needless to say, we had a yard full of butterflies and bees, which are attracted to the foam flower and joe pye weed. And monarch caterpillars and butterflies attracted to the butterfly weed. My dad had put bees further from the house so as not to attract the bees when we were all outdoors. As I followed him out each evening to water the plants and the growing vegetables, he would ask me to name the plants, the vegetables, and the butterflies. I've long forgotten many of the particulars. But I do remember the taste of fresh peppers and cucumbers with Miracle Whip, Jeff. Tomatoes, lettuce, and watermelon, so sweet and delicious. My dad would talk to us about taking care of the land, and how if we cared for the land, it would take care of us. We had separate containers for cans and bottles and plastics and cardboard long before any of my friends did. These were days long before recycling and composting were common. And yet my dad, a banker by day, was doing it in his care for the land. He had a compost pile out by the river that ran down through the lower acreage of our land. And down we would go after dinner to grow that pile. Many of you know my dad died in January of complications from Parkinson's. As Father's Day comes closer, my memories of him are more and more vivid, and they bring a sense of his presence. I was thinking of his gardens and the fun it was to plant and water and just be out there with him each evening. I'm not much of a gardener, but I have been called to take what I've learned from my dad and plant other seeds that bring forth life and hope. And I pray justice. I didn't have a moment this week to sit and put my thoughts together for this virtual Garden Sunday until yesterday afternoon. My week was full of preparations for the ordination, consecration, and seating of our 11th bishop, Dion Kevin Johnson. And despite the noted and felt absence of all of you and all the people of God who are the Diocese of Missouri, the cathedral in this part of God's vineyard, the church in this part of God's vineyard, we felt you with us, and it was a remarkable service in so many ways, not least of which was the great gift and hope we have in Bishop Dion. God is planting new seeds in our life together as a church right now in the very midst of two pandemics. As Presiding Bishop Michael Curry named them in his meeting on Friday morning with the clergy of the diocese. One, the pandemic of biology, the coronavirus, and the other, the pandemic of sin, of racism. Yesterday, my heart so full from worship, filled with so many firsts for our church here and beyond, I felt like I couldn't unravel the memories of my dad's care for the land with our call to creation care today. So I Googled creation care and up popped the Episcopal Church right at the top. And here is what the introduction says. Episcopal covenant to care of creation, putting it into practice. And it said, in Jesus, God so loved the whole world. We follow Jesus, so we love the world God loved. Concerned about the global climate emergency, drawing from a range of approaches for our diverse contexts, we commit to form and restore loving, liberating, life-giving relationships with all of creation. The covenant of creation care was divided into three areas. Loving formation. For God's sake, we will grow our love for the earth and all of life through preaching, teaching, storytelling, and prayer. The next was liberating advocacy. For God's sake, standing alongside marginalized, vulnerable peoples, we will advocate and act to repair creation and seek the liberation and flourishing of all people. And the third was called life-giving conservation. For God's sake, we will adopt practical ways of reducing our climate impact and living more humbly and gently on Earth as individuals, households, congregations, institutions, and dioceses. And then there followed a grid to guide individuals and congregations and ministries and communities and dioceses and church-wide leaders into engagement with the covenant for care of creation and its commitment to loving formation, liberating advocacy, and life-giving conservation. I recommend you go to the website for ACCUSA, Episcopal Church USA, and get on board on this covenant. As my dad taught me, all things creative of God are connected, and not for what they can do for us, but what we can do together to make the much better, more loving, just, beautiful world God desires. God plants around and within us. In a moment, we will see some of the pictures of your beautiful garden and the beauty that we see around us every day when we take walks in our neighborhood, in the growing things that rise up from some long ago planter or planner, and the beauty growing in your yards and gardens that bloom by your planting, tending, and caregiving. We also see every day God's magnificent beauty in rivers and mountains and streams and oceans and in wild plants, trees, bushes, animals, and in the faces of each extraordinarily beautiful human that God has made in the wonder and in the gift of diversity. We are called each day to creation care in all the ways defined in the covenant of our beloved church. This loving care includes plants and growing things, forests and waterways, the land entrusted to our care, our natural resources, and it most assuredly and must include humanity. As we plant seeds in our yards or in the buckets in our basements or on our balconies, we must also plant seeds of justice for those oppressed, marginalized, killed day after day after day on our streets, in their homes and cars, at the hand of another. We must work to plant the hope and reality that enough is enough. As I think of this sweet taste of my dad's peppers and tomatoes and watermelon, I think how sweet it would be if we as a church, as the people of God, would tend the care of all our beloved sisters and brothers with as much vigor as we do our gardens. How sweet and loving our world would be. As I listened to the awesome sermon of Bishop Baskerville Burroughs yesterday from our beloved cathedral, I see the overwhelmingly clear call of Bishop Dion and the place we are today in the midst of two frightening pandemics. As God doing a new thing among us. As Bishop Jennifer said yesterday, the rock has been removed away from the tomb, and it ain't going back. Now is the time. Now is the time for us to do the work Jesus leads us to do, to rebuild this world in love. So let's go. Let's plant those seeds of love in every way possible. The time is now. Let's get going. Amen.